If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
I have a message for you today that I trust will be a blessing to your heart. The title of my message is Enjoying a No-Fear Christmas. Enjoying a No-Fear Christmas. You know, everybody has fears. I do. You do. It may be the fear that if everybody knew the real me, they wouldn't like me. That's a legitimate fear a lot of people have. Then there's the fear of insignificance, that my life really won't matter, that I'll really never amount to anything. There's a fear that I'll never ever be loved or find true love. It's significant this morning, I believe, that in the Christmas story, the various accounts of the Christmas story, four times the phrase, "Do not be afraid," is used. Do not be afraid. The angels said it to Mary, they said it to Joseph, to the shepherds, and to a priest named Zechariah. Four times in the Christmas story, don't be afraid. You know, today we know that the birth of Christ is good news because we know what's going to happen. But it wasn't necessarily good news to the people who heard it for the first time. Did you know that? In fact, it scared some people to death. Maybe we've never thought about this before, but in the original Christmas story, there was a lot of fear that people experienced. Mary was afraid. Joseph was afraid. Herod, the shepherd, Zechariah. The Bible tells us the entire city of Jerusalem panicked with the news that Messiah had been born. And every one of these main characters had a different kind of fear to deal with. And human nature being what it is, 2,000 years later, we are prone to experiencing these same kinds of fears. You know, in many ways, 2021 has been a year of fear. It's been a tough year. Everybody agree with that? You know, I remember right around a year ago, everybody just being so excited that 2020 was going to be over. Because 2020 was an awful year, and 2021 just had to be better. Right? Remember that? It was a year ago. Man, I'm getting old. Time flies. You are too. And in many ways, 2021 was a better year, but it was still a very tough year. So there are millions of people for whom Christmas is not so much a Merry Christmas as it is a scary Christmas. And for some, it's not a season of cheerfulness, but of fearfulness. But the message of Christmas is this: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God says it four times, as I mentioned. He says, I don't want you to fear. It's not God's will for you and I to walk around being afraid of anything. It just isn't. So what I want to do today is identify the fears that some individuals had at the first Christmas. And then I want to share with you the scriptural antidote to fear. How many know it's always good first to identify the illness and then to have the antidote, all right? So that's what we're going to do this morning. First of all, let's look at Mary. Mary had to face the fear of inadequacy. The fear of inadequacy. You know the story. One day an angel appears to this young peasant girl, this Israeli, no education, poor. And the angel says to Mary, God's going to keep His promise. He's been promising to send the Messiah, that is the anointed one to earth for thousands of years, the Messiah, the chosen one. And the time is coming, and he says to Mary, this young girl, you are going to bear the Messiah, the Christ child. Now, there are many, many reasons why Mary in this situation should feel inadequate. She's a teenager. In those days, young girls married as young as the age of 12. And she could have been that young, certainly, most likely not older than 15 or 16. She's a teenager. She's unmarried. She's a virgin. She's never been with a man. So this is catching her totally off guard. Another reason to feel inadequate, she's engaged to a guy named Joseph. How's she going to explain this to him? Anybody would feel inadequate to give a plausible explanation for this, wouldn't they? Fourth, she's told the child is going to be the Son of God. You're going to raise the Son of God, the Messiah. Would you feel inadequate hearing that? And then another reason for the feeling of inadequacy, how do you explain this to your mom and your friends? Now, pregnancy for an unmarried girl in our culture doesn't carry quite the stigma that it did back then, but you can imagine. How am I going to explain this to everybody? An angel appeared to me and said, I'm going to bear a child even though I haven't been with a man. And oh, by the way, the child's going to be the Son of God. That would fly, wouldn't it? And then because her fiance is a citizen, they're taking a census, a Roman census, so he has to go to his birth town. So right before she delivers, she has to take a long journey on a donkey. Sound good, ladies? End stage of your pregnancy? Then she has to deliver her first child in a barn with no doctor, no mom, no sisters, no aunts, no relatives, no midwife. And then, oh yeah, just raise the Son of God. Talk about inadequate. The Bible tells it like this in Luke 1. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. So the angel said, "Do not be afraid." There's the first instance of that phrase in the Christmas narrative. Mary, for God has decided to bless you and use you. You will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of God, and his kingdom will never end. Then Mary asked a very natural question. How can this be? How is it possible? Not me. I'm not adequate. You ever feel inadequate? That's what Mary had a fear of, inadequacy. And then there's her fiancé, Joseph. Joseph had to face the fear of disapproval. Imagine his circumstance. Your fiancé tells you she's pregnant and you know you've never been with her. Then she claims God is the reason. Okay. And the baby's the Son of God. Right. How are you going to explain that to a community? When small town gossip spreads quickly, imagine the ridicule and the shame heaped on Joseph. This guy Joseph, he's the most gullible guy in the world. She's taking him for a ride. If he believes that story, he's nuts. I mean, that would be the typical reaction, wouldn't it? Joseph's first reaction to Mary's news was actually disbelief. The Bible says he was going to break off the engagement and, you know, said, I love you, honey, but I don't believe the story. And he was going to do so quietly not to embarrass her. The Bible tells it like this in Matthew chapter 1. Now, this is how Jesus Christ was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, being a good and righteous man, decided to break off the engagement quietly so it would not disgrace Mary publicly. But after he had considered doing this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. and said, Joseph, do not be afraid. There's the second instance. Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the child in her is from God's Holy Spirit. So, like the angel said to Mary, he said also to Joseph, do not be afraid. Let me ask you this morning, whose disapproval are you afraid of? Whose disapproval are you afraid of? Or let me ask it another way, whose approval are you living for? Whose approval are you craving this morning? The Bible says that the fear of disapproval is a trap. In other words, the moment I start worrying about what other people think and about whether or not they approve of me is the moment, you know, I'm as much as dead in the water. God has a plan for your life. And you and I have to decide, are we going to be a people pleaser or a God pleaser? Because there will be times in your life, you know this, this is not news. There will be times in your life where you have to be one or the other. You can't be both. You found that to be true? There will be times in your life when if you seek God's approval, you will inevitably reap the disapproval of man. So whose approval are you living for? Joseph, out of fear of disapproval, could have missed the greatest blessing in his life. To be the stepdad, to be the man who would raise the Son of God. He could have missed it because of the fear of disapproval. Then the third set of characters I want to talk about are the shepherds. The shepherds face the fear of sudden change. You know, the shepherds were easy come, easy go. They were average working Joes. And they were on the job when they heard the news that the Messiah had been born. They were out tending the sheep in the middle of the night. The sky was black. And suddenly the sky lights up. Talk about sudden change. You know, this was before fireworks, before light shows, before massive light displays, and the sky lights up. And then angels appear. They'd never seen angels. Most people have never seen angels. So on a typical dark night, the sky lights up brilliantly. Angels appear. Luke 2 tells it like this. That night, some shepherds were in the fields outside the village guarding their flocks. Suddenly, there's the sudden change. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory flashed and surrounded them. They were terribly frightened, wouldn't you be? So the angel said to them, third time, do not be afraid. How many like to be caught off guard? For those of you joining us online, no hands went up. How many like to have your plans suddenly changed? Usually we don't. Now, a couple weeks ago when we got a call at 5 in the morning that my daughter was in labor in Chicago, our plans suddenly changed. And my wife's flight out to Chicago got moved up, and I put her on a plane that morning. That was a good sudden change. But often, sudden changes aren't good things, and they can cause us fear. Adrenaline shoots through your system, and you get that fight-or-flight syndrome. And sometimes, when God upsets the apple cart, and God brings changes into our lives, sometimes we're not aware at first that it's God, are we? And things change, and things are thrown into an uproar, and we become anxious, and our plans are thrown askew, and we don't know what's going to happen. Well, God's desire is not to scare you. That's why the angel says here to the shepherds, and why God says to you and me, don't be afraid. I don't want you to be afraid. Things will change suddenly in your life. That's the nature of life. But don't be afraid. Then there's a fourth character who faced fear. That's King Herod. King Herod faced the fear of losing control. That's a good one, isn't it? He was actually king of Judea and was hated by the Jews because he wasn't actually even a full Jew. And he was paranoid about losing his throne. People in power are often paranoid about losing power, aren't they? How paranoid was Herod? Well, consider this. He had his brother-in-law killed for fear of him taking over his throne. He had his mother killed and had his wife assassinated and his two sons assassinated. I'd say that's pretty paranoid, wouldn't you? And then he hears this news, the king of the Jews has been born. He doesn't want his throne usurped, and so the scripture records that he orders the death of every baby in Israel under 2 years of age to prevent Jesus from taking his throne. Matthew 2 says this, Jesus was born in Bethlehem during the time that Herod was king of the Jews. Then some wise men, who were probably scientific guys who studied the stars, wise men from the east, came to Jerusalem and started asking, where is the child born to be king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this news, he was deeply frightened and disturbed. So was everyone else in Jerusalem. You know, at Christmas time, we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. That sounds so peaceful, doesn't it? But in Jerusalem, it wasn't a silent night. It wasn't peaceful. It wasn't calm for the city. The whole city got nervous. Everybody was afraid. Mary, Joseph, the shepherds, Herod, the entire town of Jerusalem. And Herod was afraid of losing control. You ever afraid of losing control? Sure we are. We don't like not to be in control. And then finally there was the priest named Zechariah. He had worked in the temple of Jerusalem for many years. His wife was named Elizabeth. When Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary. And so when Mary gets pregnant, being unwed, they did what they used to do with unwed pregnant teenagers. They shipped her out of town so she wouldn't have to face the community. And so she was sent to stay for a while with her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zechariah were good people. They were now up in age. They'd prayed their entire married life for a child, and that prayer had never been answered. They'd given up hope. Zechariah face the fear of being disappointed. The fear of being disappointed. This is a real issue. One day God shows up to Zechariah in the temple. He sends an angel, and the angel says, Zechariah, the prayer you've been praying for a baby, that prayer is about to be answered. Your wife in her old age is going to have a miracle baby boy. Zechariah had been disappointed so many times and he just didn't believe it, and he paid a price for that disbelief. Luke 1 says this, that while serving in the temple, an angel appeared to Zechariah. When he saw the angel, he was confused and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel said to him, what do you think he said? Do not be afraid, your prayer has been heard. There's the fourth time. I told you there were four. Are we getting the point this morning that God doesn't want us to be afraid? And by the way, Zechariah's long-awaited son, you've probably heard of him. His name was John the Baptist. He grew up to be the forerunner, the herald of the Messiah, who said, he's coming, get ready. He fulfilled a very important function. But Zechariah had to deal with the fear of disappointment. My question for you this morning is, which of these fears are holding you back this morning? Whether you're here in the sanctuary joining us online, which of these five fears are holding you back? Are you dealing with the fear of inadequacy? That's something that we're prone to, aren't we? We just don't feel adequate. We don't feel up to what we're called to do. And I get it. Sometimes we just don't feel, I'm not up to it. I'm not equipped. Maybe you're feeling the fear of disapproval. You hate to be criticized. You're thin-skinned. You'd rather go along to get along. The fear of rejection. You want everybody to approve of you, everybody to agree with you. Let me tell you, you don't need people's approval to be happy. The only approval you and I need is God's approval. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need to get that in our spirit this morning. Fear can do a real number on us. The great legendary coach Vince Lombardi said, "Fear makes cowards of us all." How true that is. Some of you may have the fear of sudden change. You may say, you know, 2021 wasn't a great year, but I don't really want change in 2022. If it goes like 2021, I'll be happy enough. We're just afraid of sudden change, and things come, and we, you know, get in a pattern. We have things we like the way they are. We all have our routines, don't we? We all have things that you know, the Christmas season is on us. You have your ritual and your tradition and your family. We have them in ours, and those are great. You know, but what happens? Things change. Okay? My oldest daughter and her husband won't be with us for Christmas because they have a newborn baby. So it's going to be a FaceTime Christmas. That's a change, and we don't necessarily like it. But things change. How about the fear of losing control? There's a warning light that goes off when we feel like we're losing control. It's called worry. You know? We like having things that we can handle, that we can push all the buttons. And when things are out of our control, loss of a job or changes to our personal life, our family life, we're losing control. We don't like that, do we? For some, that can be a real issue of fear. How about the fear of being disappointed? Some of you have thought, "I've been disappointed so much in the past. I'm not going to let another man get close to me. I'm not going to let another woman break my heart. I'm never going to go after that dream, that promotion, that job, because I've failed so many times before. I'm afraid to give my life to God because people in the church have hurt me. I don't want anything. I've heard people tell me, I don't want anything to do with the church because people in the church have hurt me. They've been disappointed." The fear of disappointment. Well, this morning, I want to share with you the next few minutes, the final part of this sermon, which is the antidote to fear. How we can conquer our fears and not let them get the best of us this Christmas season and beyond. There are a few steps that we need to take. Here's the first one. Number one, surrender my life completely to God every day. Every day. This is how Mary overcame her inadequacy, her fear of inadequacy. When the angel came and unloaded all this stuff on her, how did she respond? This young, fearful peasant girl, how did she respond? Luke 1:38 says, "Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever God wants for my life.'" Wow. That young girl speaks volumes to us today, doesn't she? And listen, I get it. I understand the human reaction. I'm subject to it myself. Why do I have to deal with this? I am not prepared for this. I am not ready for this. I don't feel adequate. Why is this on me? When instead, I need to tell myself, and we need to tell ourselves, "Lord, for some reason that maybe I don't understand, you've allowed this in my life. Lord, I submit to your will. Lord, I'm your servant. Lord, I surrender to you." Can I tell you something? There is something massively freeing about that. Instead of letting our fear get the best of us, say, "Lord, I don't understand everything you've allowed in my life, but Lord, I trust you." Isn't that a great concept? Trusting in God. You know, trusting in God doesn't mean much when everything goes the way we want it to. But when we feel inadequate, when we are burdened by fears and we don't understand fully what's going on, that's when real trust in God comes into play, doesn't it? "Lord, I surrender. Boy, that should be a daily habit. Wake up in the morning, Lord, I don't know what's coming my way today, but Lord, whatever is of your will, I surrender to it. Man, what a difference that makes. You know, 30 years ago, my wife and I felt led of the Lord to leave our comfortable staff position in a big church to plant this church. And there was a lot of fear that went into that. But the Lord spoke to us, and we said, Lord, we submit to your will. And here we are 30 years later. God has met every need. You can tell I haven't missed a meal. And God's been faithful to us. When we submit to him, he will bring us through. Amen? Amen. What's the second thing we need to do to deal with our fear? It's this: stop listening to the voices of fear. Fear is all around us. And what we feed into our spirit grows. You understand? You're going to have to change if you're being overcome by fear. You got to change what you watch and what you listen to and what ideas you allow to go into your mind. Internet, books, movies, tapes, TV shows. Would you agree that we're living in a pretty negative culture? Would you agree with that statement? Whatever you feed into your spirit grows. The Bible says that fear is the opposite of faith. When we walk in fear, when we're being overwhelmed and overcome by fear, that means we're not walking in faith. And can I tell you something else about fear? Fear is contagious. It's a communicable disease. And so when we are talking with and interchanging with people who are fearful, and we get that into our mind, it poisons our system. So we need to watch what we listen to on the radio and watch on TV and the social media that stirs us up about issues. I get it. We want to be informed and we want to know what's going on in the world. But we have a choice to make about what we take into our spirit. And studies have shown that, scientific university studies have shown that if you feed on inflammatory, negative, critical, fearful talk all the time, whether it's liberal or conservative in nature, it doesn't matter, that's the kind of person you're going to be. Negative, critical, fearful, defensive, and antagonistic. But if you want to be a positive person, you need to feed your mind and your spirit with positive things. I'm not talking about having your head up in the clouds, not being in touch with reality. I'm not talking about that. You understand what I'm saying. But you need to be around people of faith, people who are going to encourage you, people who are going to share the word of God with you, people who are going to say, yes, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but God's in control and we trust in him. People who are going to build up your faith instead of build up your fear. Think about the negative voices that Mary and Joseph had to block out of their minds to please God. You and I need to do the same thing. We need to feed our minds on positive things and not negative things. What's the third thing we need to do? I need to fill my mind with music that praises God. Praise is the antidote to panic. Worship is the antidote to worry. Why is that? Because when you and I are scared to death, all of our focus is on us. How's this going to affect me? What's going to happen to me? What's the future hold for me? When we praise and worship, guess where the focus is? It's on God. See the difference? When we worship him, we focus on God. And as I mentioned earlier, He's drawn to that. His presence is manifest when we praise and when we worship him. Luke chapter 1, this is how Mary dealt with her fears. Listen, it says, "Then Mary sang, 'With all my heart I praise the Lord. I rejoice in God my Savior, for he notices and cares for me, a simple servant girl. He has blessed me, and he is the mighty one who is holy. He is all powerful. He can do anything. He meets all our needs, and he keeps his promises.'" Wow, talk about an antidote to fear. Hallelujah. It's no accident that Christmas is the most musical of holidays. Mary sang to get rid of her fear. Elizabeth sang. The angels sang. The shepherds sang. Even Zechariah wrote a song. Fill your house and your car and your mind. Fill them with the praises of God as an antidote to fear. There's a fourth way to defeat your fears. It's this. I base my hope on the promises of God. Let me ask you this morning, what are you putting your hope in? Whoever's in the White House? How's that working out? Whoever's in the State House? How the stock market does? What are you putting your hope in this morning? Do you know that in the Bible there are over 7,000 promises from God? You know, if I were to have major surgery and was worried, can I afford this? I'd go to my insurance policy and look it up. And if the policy says this procedure is covered, I don't worry about it. Why? Because I don't have to pay for it. The reason you and I can be fearful and anxious and worried is because we don't know what's in the policy manual. Here's our policy manual right here. Amen. The Word of God. The Bible has a lot to say about the practical issues of life, our finances, your health, your sex life, your relationships, your career, your past, your present, your future, about forgiveness of sin, about eternal life. But if you and I don't know the promises of God, we can't claim them. Elizabeth, Mary's cousin, knew what it meant to claim the promises of God. In Luke chapter 1, it says, "Elizabeth said to Mary, 'You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said.'" Isn't that powerful? What a novel concept. Almighty God will do what he said. Can I ask you a question? Is there anybody here that could say God has lied to you? Those of you watching online, no hands went up. God keeps his promises. Amen? And we can believe in the promises of God. Psalm 56, David said, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in God. And when I trust in God, I am not afraid. I praise him for what he has promised." Praise God. You can trust in every one of the promises of God. I don't have time to go through all 7,000. You okay with that if I don't go through all 7,000? But let's look at a couple. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." The greatest promise, that the first verse many of us learned in the Scriptures. Jesus Christ came to pay for our sins, to free us from the penalty of sin. Hebrews 2:15 is another promise. It says Jesus came to die for us so he could free us from living all our lives as slaves to the fear of death. Freedom, hallelujah, from fear. The last line of that famous carol, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," goes like this: "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee," meaning Jesus, "tonight." God doesn't want us to live our lives in fear, not to the point where we're overwhelmed, where we're incapacitated, but fear. If you're here today or watching online and any of these fears or others like them have overwhelmed you and overtaken your life, I have good news for you today. You can be free from the bondage of fear.